B-Pod Studios.
Drive home with Felger and Mass this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb,
bomb, bomb. Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week's dog out of here.
Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Dog's pretty big. Midget's pretty small. Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Dog's pretty big. Midget's pretty small. Major with
the
dog.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa. Major
with the dog. Major with the dog. Dog's pretty big. Major's pretty small.
All right, first day back.
Let's let it roll. It's a double midget with a dog type of morning.
All right, 5 seconds till Melvin's. And go, take two.
Yeah.
Well, that sucked. Oh. A kick in the balls. I went into last night having a little bit of hope, false hope possibly. Not that they would win the series, but we would just get one more, and damn it, it looked like it for just a little bit. But alas, that's the end of another Bruins season, and there's a lot of questions now. It is Toucher and Rich. In the Town Fair Tire Studio, 617-779-0985. We'll take your calls all morning long. Joe Murray in studio, of course, and John Wallach. And Ty Anderson is going to be joining us in the 7 o'clock hour. And, like, Ty Anderson, like, was tweeting something about an hour and a half ago. And, like consistently. So, I mean, this isn't like he went to bed and then got back up. Just throughout the night he'd been tweeting. And I tweeted him back. I said, dude, you just riding the bull until you're hit with us at 720. And he tweeted me back a picture of Red Bull Yellow Edition. And it said, you actually don't need sleep when you're already dead inside. So Ty Anderson, you know, he may play it cool when he's on the air with us, but I think he's almost as emotionally invested as Dave Mischkin is from the Tampa Bay Lightning when you hear him make the calls. Whereas he doesn't like scream like Mischkin does. His screams are all written out on Twitter. It's all screams of help, of please, let's this Bruins do something here just to save this hell we've been going through for the last few months. And then, of course, this ends up happening. We're going to spend, obviously, most of the morning talking about everything that happened. And that's going to happen because there were a lot of interesting quotes from the players afterwards that left you scratching your head about what the future of a lot of these players are, what the future of this team is, including some of their, you know, guys that you just, it's going to be tough to imagine this team without several of these guys, but hints dropped yesterday, and we'll get to all of that, but not to do a double whammy, but I mean, it was already a day where the city was, it was announced is going to suffer another huge loss, and that is, there's been a ton, and it's sucked throughout everything that's been going on with all these restaurants shutting down, but yesterday, for some reason, when they announced that the Fours is closing over at over off Causeway and by the Garden, that just was like, all right, man, come on, what do we got? You know, like, of all the places that you just thought would never close, that were just always going to be there, like, you almost, and like, when they announced that they were going to close,
like, part of me almost thought that somebody, like, some ex-athlete, like Larry Bird, was going to swoop in and buy it and just say, you're never going to close. You know, because of all the history and stuff that was there. Like, Ray Bourque, you know, used to go and eat there. And, you know, all these different guys, you know. I just thought that there was going to be some feel-good story, and maybe there's yet one yet to come, of somebody who, like, had some great memory at the Fours. You know, they celebrated a huge win, or, you know, a life moment. One of these athletes was going to come in and sweep in and like, save the Fours. But we never really got that. And now the Fours was, you know, that was not, like, my number one place that I would go, just probably because it was always so packed. Like, if you tried to go and eat at the Fours within 2 hours before a game, you weren't getting
either
in.
Either way, 2 hours before or two hours after.
After, man.
Yeah, you weren't getting in. Now, after a while, it was kind of cool. Like, if you spend enough time down there, you can sometimes get to know the door guys,
yeah.
Which is okay.
Yeah.
And sometimes you would find bars that people were cool to you, like, after a while. Like, as I said, if you were friendly to some of the door guys, they would recognize you and they'd let you in. And that was always kind of cool. The Fours was one of those places where if I went, I always went upstairs. Like, I never really went there. I mean, I ate there a bunch, but I mean, it wasn't like before or after a game, you would go there to drink. And the upstairs was always a good place to go. I always liked that little area up there. I was more of a Sullivan's Tap guy. Like, Sullivan's, like, after a game, I wouldn't want to go sit down and eat a meal. That's what you do with the Fours. Like, Sullivan's Tap, I would just go because I wanted to drink and I wanted to, you know, watch people get hustled at Papa Shot. Like, that to me was like the after show entertainment.
Hold on. You said when you go to the Fours, that's more to eat more for a meal than it is for a drink. There are tables on one side, but I would say 80% of the time I was at the Fours, it was to drink.
I don't think I ever got hammered at the Fours. Like, the Fours was more of like a family place.
Well, maybe, you know, like, if you spent more time downstairs, Rich.
Food was great there, too. And that was a huge wrestling spot for us. My question, what are they going to do with all that memorabilia?
That's a good point.
Like, I think they could make a ton of money with that.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I know. It's true. And I was reading an article this morning that Dan Shaughnessy had written about, you know, the Fours. And, you know, he liked it because they actually hung the paper, the sports paper, over the urinals, which, you know, so he could see his face while he was relieving himself. But the one thing that he wrote in there, which I didn't know, is that apparently our own Dave Gosher, or used to be our own Dave Gosher, the ex-play-by-play voice of your Boston Bruins. Everyone knows him from his Bergeron calls. He met his wife there. Like, I guess it was before or after one of the games. She was a waitress at the Fours at the time. Wow. And like, he would just go there and eat, and that's where they met, and they ended up getting married after that. So, I mean, there's that, too. There's just so much. There's so much history in that place. It's just that was like like as big of a kick in the balls that you could have as far as anything like closing down, just because you never thought it would ever close. Again, of all like the institutions that are in this city, you know, that's just the one that you thought that there was some sort of law that you couldn't close down the Fours, you know, and there you go. And this sucks. And everyone, all these businesses and these restaurants have been trying to fight through all this. I still am holding out some sort of hope that somebody with some kind of connection to that place, because there's been so many famous people and athletes that have come in and out of that restaurant and have stories from eating at the Fours and being at the Fours, that somebody might be able to come in and save that place. Because that's just not going to be the same when you're down there. You know what I mean? And that's not to knock any of the new places that have come in, because some of them are really nice. Like, I like drinking it a lot. There's a bunch of new ones. But the Fours was kind of just like the constant. You know what I mean? It was like the one constant.
I have a question. When are you going back down there, Rich? When is that going to happen?
Dude, I want to be down there right now.
I know, but you're saying it's not going to be the same when you go back down there. When exactly are you going back down there?
When are any of us going to be able to go back
down there? Another good question.
Have games at the Garden, you know? I mean, this is why they're closed. And it sucks because as the TD Garden goes, as most of those businesses go, and it does stink. And you know what? Since this whole thing broke out, obviously I have not been down to Causeway. Is it a ghost town? Because I know that they just opened up, you know, that whole new entertainment set. There's like a movie theater down there, which obviously you couldn't go to the movies with all that. I mean, they opened up that big grocery store. There's a nightclub that Big Night at Live that they can't have shows. You know what I mean? It's like, is that whole area just like empty now? And it sucks for all those businesses. But the Fours, man. I mean, this is just, And you hope there's a feel-good story on the end of this and someone's able to save it, or just a lot of these businesses. I mean, like, Whiskey's is gone. That's another place that I used to drink
that
at.
Hurt.
I mean, like, McGreevy's, that was a newer place, but I liked it. That was a great, great spot. And there's all these, like, little restaurants like Deep Ellum that, you know, places I used to drink over there in Alston. The Legal Seafoods, like the one in, over by the park. No, not the Seaport one. I think it's the one that was over by the Park Plaza.
The Legal Kitchen or whatever? What, the other
no. Well, the Legal Test Kitchen's gone, too. Yeah. But the Legal Seafood that was over kind of near, you know, just about like a block away from the Common. Which is weird, though, because Legal Seafoods are almost always packed. I don't think that one was always packed. Like, I think that was one of the first ones downtown. But I don't think that, like, people couldn't find it. It was in a weird spot. So I saw that one closing. And that just was kind of a sign that, whoa, if Legal Seafoods is closing, it's a big deal. But, man, times are weird. It was a double kick in the balls yesterday, and obviously we'll get to the Bruins. I just saw that thing about the fours, and that just you didn't think it would ever close. You didn't think it would. All right. Well, 617-779-0985. Let's get to everything with the Bruins, because it's true, after the game, and actually during the game, there were some stuff said from the broadcasters that I kept thinking, do they know something we don't know? The future of Zdeno Chara in question with this team. Some comments that you could read into from David Krejci and Brad Marchand about where the team's head was at. We'll get into all that. And also, as I said, we'll take your call. 617-779-0985. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the home of the Bruins, the Celtics, and these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. We got Joe Murray here in studio, and John Wallach. And just like that, season is over.
Hedman shoots, blocked up top by Nordstrom. Near point, Braden Point. High slot, Shattenkirk. Near circle, Hedman shoots. They score. Victor Hedman with Patrick Maroon screening out in front wins it 3-2 for the Lightning in double overtime. And the Lightning down the Bruins in five games in the second round.
Well, it was the best the Bruins had played all series, and it still wasn't enough. The Lightning win in double OT, 3-2. They now advance to the Eastern Conference Final. And the Bruins, well, they got some decisions to make. A nearly 11-month season ended with a game that delivered too little too late in a series where goals were missing in action, and the leads were borderline non-existent for the Bruins. But there were a couple of moments in regulation where you thought that the Bees were on the doorstep of doing something special here.
Krejci, right circle now. Here's Bjork. Up top, Clifton, far point, Chara. Sends out in front. They score! David Krejci in the slot. Buries it. We're tied at two.
Oh, that was awesome. Big Z gets it to Krejci, and finally a bit of puck luck on the Bruins side. And if you could say anything positive about last night's game, it was that Halak was a beast. He saved, I mean, really, he saved his best performance for last. Huge save after huge save. I mean, anyone who pins this last loss on Halak is crazy. I mean, those goals, like the first two that were let in were just, how do you stop that? Like miracle tips they were able to get.
Well, those. Not only that, the guys who tipped the puck were behind any and all Bruins defensemen. That's the other thing that pissed me off about those first two goals. Both tips were by Tampa Bay guys who were out in front behind the Bruins defense. That should never happen, at least on the last goal. I think it was Krug who was wrestling with Maroon in front trying to get him away from there. And that stuff just happens.
Yeah, he got him
off. The first two were preventable, but the Bruins defense didn't clear the net in front. That's the problem.
But it wasn't Halak's fault. You're right.
No.
It should have been cleared out in front. I mean,
he had a, I mean, he kept them in that game there near the end. And as I said, I mean, there's plenty of time to talk about whether or not, you know, this team would have done anything better with Tuukka Rask and net. Not last night. Last night, Halak did about as good as you could get, and it just still wasn't enough. And you're right, John. I agree with you. They should have cleared those guys out. On top of that, McAvoy was out for an extended period due to a questionable hit by Cedric Paquette into the boards. Listen, I know that there was a question as to whether or not that should have been called. I mean, there's a legitimate argument on both sides. But if you're going to call Nick Ritchie from the last game, you have to call this as well, don't you?
I'm not convinced of that. I mean, looking at the two of them, I thought Ritchie's definitely deserved a penalty. I mean, you could slow it down frame by frame, but the puck was clearly gone, and Ritchie hit him kind of from behind and late. And yes, he embellished. I forget who he hit, but the guy who flipped over embellished it. But it was a penalty. Last night, it looked like McAvoy had stopped and lowered himself right as the guy got there.
Yeah, he looked to turn right as Paquette was coming to hammer him.
My sense was it was not a penalty, even though McAvoy went to the quiet room, so it would seem, to get evaluated for the concussion.
I can't believe he came back. Yeah. I mean, that's one of those.
He looked good. He looked fine afterwards.
I know.
Yeah.
He did. He did well. But the Bruins, they hammered away. And Otisa, overtime saw them playing some of the most aggressive hockey that we'd seen so far. But unfortunately, in the end, we got this from Dave Mishkin and Phil Esposito, so adjust your volume accordingly.
Great point, Shattenkirk. Let's look at Hedman. Tease it up. Shoot! Score! Hedman! The Lightning win it! They win it again in overtime! This series is over! The Lightning win it! 3-2 in double overtime! And they're on to the Eastern Conference Final!
Boy, I tell you what a play Point made. Braden Point made just an unbelievable play to Hedman. Victor gets the puck. He skates in and snaps it, and it might have hit Maroon and went in.
I'm telling you, Mishkin yells that loud to wake up Phil Esposito. That's exactly why he does it. You can hear, like, you know, he's coming to it, like Phil Esposito's just trying to get the words out. And he's looking at the monitor, I'm sure, as soon as he gets up for the replay, because he might have missed it. But a tough loss. Here is Bruce Cassidy afterwards. Now, this is where things started getting interesting, because I saw a lot of people reading into a bunch of different quotes and things that were out there about certain players. But first, let's get to Cassidy about what he thought of the team.
There was a commitment to be here. A lot of sacrifices for every player that's here, manager, people working here to be away. You're confined. I still think the situation, the NHL handled it terrific. You're still confined to a certain extent, and that's different. You got to be mentally dialed in, so to speak, and to find structure in your day that, you know, would be different from your normal way of life.
All right, we're going to play a lot of clips today that are all going to sound like shots at Tuukka Rask that I don't think are. Like, I mean, anytime anyone talks about it was a real commitment to be here, there's going to be people who are going to stroke their chins and say, huh, that sounds like a shot. Joe Murray, you seem to be one of those people that would infer that. Am I reading the room wrong?
There were some interesting comments last night that had me doing that.
All right, okay. Yeah. Well, we'll play it. I'll let you when we play the comment, because anytime. It's not like the guys aren't going to talk about the commitment that it takes to be there. Because, like, as you're going to hear Brad Marchand say here, it wasn't as much about, hey, we were here and you weren't. It was more about a missed opportunity that you put that much time in and all of that commitment and it all be for nothing. So here's what Brad Marchand said.
It's a very disappointing finish to what we had a great year. You know, obviously it's been a very different playoff schedule and there was a lot of time off, but I mean, we have a hell of a team, you know, and we expected better out of this year. You know, we thought we had a chance to, I mean, Tampa's a great team. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to take anything away from them. They're a great team, but you know, we just, the way things were rolling throughout the season, we thought we were going to go all the way, and it's a huge sacrifice to come here. Kind of a waste of time now. You know, we spent the last 3 months getting ready for this and, you know, being here, and, you know, we walk away without anything to show for it. So it's tough, and, you know, you never know how many opportunities you're going to have to win a cup.
Did you read that one as being a shot there, Joe Murray?
No, not a shot. Just, you know, that he's upset. They've let too many chances go. And I think it's fair to say, right? We all agree this Bruins team is
Home ice for Game 7 last year.
You know, they took the I'll say it again. They
chance
took
to force it to Game 7 in 2013. I mean, look at these guys. I mean, the core of this group has been around a decade. I mean, this they have one cup to show for it, three Stanley Cup finals, one they lost in Game 6, one they lost in Game 7. I mean, it's maybe you think they could have done a little better. That's pretty good. Yeah. But this year, definitely a missed opportunity up to a point.
Yeah, we were just talking off the air, Rich. Like, this group probably should have had more than one Stanley Cup.
I'm happy
talent
with the wise, one they
I
got.
Think they, well, doesn't that make it great,
maybe,
though? Like, is that
maybe
the thing we talk about here in this town? Like, you know, that big three of the Celtics only got one.
Yeah.
You know, we know that the Bruins team got – the Red Sox teams have won multiple.
You see, but I don't think that – if you're going to compare them to the second version of the big three, I'm happy with the one championship they got. I mean, I think if Garnett doesn't get hurt the year after they won the first one, they would have won the second one. And then you have the lead in 2010 in Game 7 without Kendrick Perkins, and then you lose – I'm happy with the one they got. Just as I'm happy with the one this group got as well. Just Stanley Cup Finals, weird stuff happens.
I think if you're going to look at one that was the one that got away, I don't think the Blackhawks season was the one that got away. I think that the Blackhawks were just an amazing team. They were a better team.
And you wouldn't have had Bergeron in Game 7,
yep,
sure.
He would have been out. That's not the one that got away. The Blackhawks deserve that one. You know what year I think is the one that got away? Is the year before they won the Cup. I think that that collapse of the Flyers, I thought that team was unreal.
No, actually, if you take a look back, and don't forget, Krejci was hurt. He broke his wrist. Yeah. He wasn't going to be available. Yep. I disagree. I don't. The one that got away was last year.
Yep.
Not 2010. Where
and
they
we
blew
don't
that
know
lead
what
would have
happened
Flyers.
In that Game 7 with the Blackhawks. We don't know. And it never happened.
Well, you're right. But, you know what? What's his name? Patrice was playing with the Pierce Long at the time.
Yep.
So you're right. You wouldn't have had him for that game.
So it would have been the one that got away was last year.
Listen, you get to a Game 7 and you play that way. Of course, that's definitely also one that got away. I just look back at that. I just look at it back how good that team was. And you know what? I forgot that Krejci was hurt. You're right.
He was going to be out for the playoffs. I mean, they wouldn't have had him, and Krejci was huge for them.
Well, listen, I'm proud of this group, and I think you know the one thing I'll always look at is the Chara stuff, him holding that cup. But I will look at it and say, you think of the Blackhawks, you think of Detroit, you think of those teams, even the Kings or whatever. Like, these guys, they won multiple championships.
Mm-hmm.
This team was there multiple times and only got one. That's upsetting.
Well, the Lightning this year were just so much better. Like, that's the thing. Is like, I mean, well, I was astounded at how many players they had, you know, hurt and not playing, and they still just dominated.
Think about what happened to your team last night. You lost to Tampa Bay. They were without their best player for most of the game, and they skated 10 forwards and were better than you in the second overtime.
Let that
sink in.
They also beat up on you this season.
You had 12 forwards. Yeah. They had 10 for most of that game. They were down their best player, and they still looked better than you in the second overtime and beat you.
But it makes me so pissed because you think about this team before the break. I mean, 44 games they won. I mean, obviously they had the best record, 100 points in the standings. I mean, what was it? Were they up ahead by six? Like six more than the next closest team, I think?
Rich, Tampa Bay, if you take a look at the start they had to their season, it was clearly a hangover from the playoffs last year. If you take a look at the start to Tampa Bay's season, they didn't start well.
Yeah.
And then they played about three months of unreal hockey to get themselves back into
great
it.
Great trades. They got
made
bigger.
Great trades. And not only that, I know we're up against the break. Not only did they make great trades, you look at the way, and I assume we're going to start talking about Chara and the Bruins' future here coming up.
Yep.
If you look at what the Bruins have salary-wise and what Tampa has salary-wise, the Bruins' window is basically set to close at the end of next season. That's the way Don Sweeney seems to have set it up. If you look at Tampa Bay, their core is younger than you, and they're signed for longer. So it's not just this year. You're going to bump into this Tampa Bay team for at least two or three more years in the future. And all of these guys, I think their oldest guy is Stamkos, and he's 30 of their top six or seven forwards. Their top two defensemen are signed for about 5 or 6 years. That goaltender you faced last night is signed for another 5 or 6 years. The Bruins have a massive decision to make in the next 2 months as to how they're going to attack the future.
All right, let's get to the Chara stuff, because before last night, to be quite honest, I thought, you know, more than likely it sounds like Chara's going to be back for one more year at least. And then Doc Emrick started talking about retirement, and I don't know if he knows something we don't know. And then they all commented on it afterwards, including Zdeno Chara. So we'll get to their comments right after Joe Murray's headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the home of the game.
Patriots!
And these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Personally, anyways, I was coming in trying to be in the moment. I wasn't trying to think about the future and just trying to enjoy what's there in front of you. Sometimes there's too much of that going on. You know, you think about the past or you think about the future and you don't really enjoy the present. So that's what I was trying to do and just stay there.
It's Patrice Bergeron. The Bruins, if you didn't stay up for the double OT game, unfortunately, their season is over. 3-2 the final score. John Wallach, Joe Murray here in studio, and, you know, you can't help but wonder how things would have turned out if there was no stoppage in the season, if it would have been a normal one that just rolled into April and you had a Stanley Cup champion by sometime in June, because you look at all the weird turns of events that have happened. Like, put it this way, you had it's a joke now, it's a curse when you have the President's Trophy. Obviously it seems to be a curse now. So you had the Bruins, the best team of the regular season, they get bumped to the second round. On top of that, you've got the regular season top seed in the West, St. Louis, not even making it out of the first round. And then you had a team like the Capitals, who were the third seed in the East during the regular season, but they also didn't make it past round one, getting beat by the Islanders, who barely were even a playoff team back in March. So this is all, and aren't they almost about to eliminate the Flyers as well?
They're up 3-1. Don't forget, Joe, you know, the Islanders have the Capitals' former head coach. Barry Trotz won the cup with the Capitals, was not asked back. He went to the Islanders, and the Islanders beat the Capitals in round one.
So this is, I don't know, like, whether or not you can attribute the breakage in play, or I'm sure there's going to be many an article written about, you know, did this benefit older teams or younger teams? And, you know, there was a lot of questions about the Bruins with all of these veterans. Would they be able to get back up to speed? And I think that we all thought when we saw them during that round robin series that, you know, wow, they've lost it during this time. And then now you got to look back and take a look at that Carolina series and go, was just Carolina that bad, or did the Bruins like come to life for a little, or were they just that bad?
I don't know. I mean, listen, I think Carolina was that bad. Tampa Bay was the better team, and I think we all can admit that. And you might even be able to say that with Rask or with not Rask. But the way that they took off the round robin just wasn't Bruins-like, if you ask me. And who knows how the seedings could have been. Philadelphia was the hottest team, and they end up, you know, playing the way that they do. But, you know, I even think Colorado last night. Like, Colorado had 5 goals in the first period. They played their backup last night, made their first career start ever, and they won. All I'm saying is if things were different, like if they got Washington, that's a team they always struggle against. But if they got the Islanders, like, I don't know. I wonder if they would have been a better matchup for the Bruins in that case.
Well, I was obviously frustrated, as everyone was, with the round robin, because my whole thing was, like, I didn't think they had that in their DNA to just get steamrolled during that. I thought that there was something inside of them. Like, when you're a team that's that good during the regular season, I almost thought that, I don't want to say you could sleepwalk through those games, but just they would give you something. They would show you a little bit of that grit that got them where they were. And, you know, but then again, when it was done and they started winning against Carolina, you know, I had to convince myself that maybe that's not who the Bruins are anymore. Maybe because they are an older team, you know, they know their bodies, they have to conserve their energy, and now now that it's, you know, time to go, they can do it. But the fact that they just couldn't score this round, I mean, they couldn't even score, especially when you've got the best line in hockey and they were MIA for the majority of this series, it was just disheartening. And there's a lot of decisions that need to be made over the next couple of weeks. I mean, season starts in, I think camp starts like the second week of November, which is right around the corner now if you take a look at it. So it's going to be out. We're taking your calls, by the way, this morning, 617-779-0985. No commercials, just the headlines with Joe Murray, and I want to talk about Tuukka Rask's future for just a moment. So we'll take your calls as well, 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports Hub. This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And a shot won't get through. Hedman again. Still can't get it through, and it's point there. Led back over to Shattenkirk, then on to Hedman. Moving on. Hit shot. He scores! Hedman wins it!
He always has your back. You definitely want to see him leave. Great friend. I can't say enough about that guy. But at the same time, it just kind of hit me after the game that the core group, you know, a few of us, we have 1 or 2, 3 years left with the pandemic going on. You never know what's going to happen. It's just kind of a little sad right now.
What's up? It's Toucher and Rich. That right there was David Krejci. And out of all the guys who spoke last night, Krejci just seemed the most crushed. Like, he had his hat down over his eyes. He wasn't looking up. Talking about how, you know, it's occurred to him that this, you know, could possibly be the last ride of the core group. And he's right. I mean, all this talk about Zdeno Chara, we don't know whether he's going to be back. And, you know, Mike Lockhart, during the break here, brought up a really good point that could affect everything when it comes to what this team is going to look like next season. And that is, how does this season start? Does it start in a bubble? Because if it does, you're looking at a couple of major pieces that you might not have. First of all, let's start with, and by the way, the camp starts on November 17th and the season starts December 1st. So, I mean, I don't think that there's any, you know, delusion that we're all going to be out of this by that point. I think that most people are saying that, you know, this thing's going to be around until the beginning of at least next year when hopefully there's going to be vaccines. So, you know, there's already a bunch of different, you know, basketball's been talking about starting the season next year in a bubble as well, and hockey might do the same. So Tuukka Rask left the bubble to be with his family. Now, from what we know and the little bit that we do know is that his family member was sick. Do you think if this season starts in a bubble, Tuukka Rask is going to come back for the beginning of the season?
I think it depends on how long they're going to have to stay there.
They don't know. They're not. If you start the season in a bubble, you're not going to know. So there's going to be that uncertainty.
I get that. But I think ultimately they can't hold an entire season there. I mean, there's no guarantee there's a vaccine. So you can't do a season in a bubble. I think, I mean, again, I didn't know we were going in this direction. So, you know, thinking off the top of my head, I think the NHL better get to work on how to have hockey games with no fans in the stands in all of the team's separate buildings. Now, it may take longer than a couple of months to get that together. Maybe the testing protocols will be better. Maybe they'll be able to somehow quarantine teams there. Hold on. Let me just finish the thought. What I'm saying is, if they can't do it and by the way, December 1st is 3 months. Months from today. Yeah. So if they can't get it done in 3 months, maybe they start the season in the bubble, and then after a month, everyone scatters to their own buildings.
Well, once again, if they start the season in a bubble, they're not going to know when it's going to be over. Like, it's not going to be like, all right, we'll be done in a month. That's not how this is going to work. It's going to be, we're going to do this until we feel safe. You know, because you can't set like a date, you know, because they're not going to know exactly when everything's going to be A-okay. So there's going to be uncertainty if they start in a bubble. And everything I'm reading right now, you know, seems to say that there is a decent chance that that's what they're going to have to do that. And if that's the case, I think that there's two players that you may not have in this team at the beginning of the season, and maybe not even at all. I don't know if Tuukka Rask comes back if it's in a bubble, because there might be part of him that thinks, well, I don't want what happened this time to happen again, so I'm going to stay
here. I don't think he's the only guy either. I mean, I think the reason why these guys played in the bubble this year was to win a Stanley Cup.
And it was a finite time. Okay, if
absolutely.
We play this long and we know we're going to get out.
Yeah.
The only reason I thought there'd be a finite period of time that they'd play in a bubble at the beginning of next season is to get the teams ready for, okay, here's where all you guys are going to have to be, you know, in your separate cities. Here are the testing protocols, like for baseball, you know, that kind of thing. And baseball's done a pretty good job in the last week or two anyway.
Hang on. No, they haven't at all. Baseball's been a disaster.
No. The last week or two, they haven't had teams sit out a week. But up until then, I'm just saying, maybe baseball's
don't
finally
bring
getting
baseball.
This right.
Don't bring up baseball. Talk about even, you know, you can even talk about preseason NFL. Because
preseason NFL.
They haven't traveled.
There are teams. There are, maybe they'll perfect this. Given 3 extra months. All I'm saying is, you're right. If there's no finite period of time, if they just say, you know what, Tuukka, you have to go back to Toronto. We don't know when we're going to see you again. Then, yeah, I would imagine you're right. He will opt out and he won't play again.
And another guy that I think might say, and this is not his personality, but if you're also teetering on the edge of retirement, if they say, you know what, this season is going to start in a bubble and we don't know if it's going to finish in a bubble, I got a feeling that's enough for someone like Zdeno Chara to go, you know what? That's a sign.
Yeah.
That's a sign that I'm done. So, and I think it's over.
Can we talk about Tuukka Rask returning not in a bubble? And, you know, let's say the season starts at the Garden and everything's normal. I've already shared my thoughts. I don't think Rask can come back from this on a fan level, meaning people accept him. I think his teammates will. And clearly you saw the loss of Tuukka Rask on the ice in a playoff series. Like, you saw that. We all believe that they need Tuukka Rask to be successful.
Well, I agree. I mean, they're not going to win anything unless they have a championship goalie. And I do believe that Tuukka Rask, not just because of him going home, he's alluded to the fact that his head might not be in it anymore. And the Bruins have to start planning ahead. Halak's not your guy. Halak was a perfect tandem goalie, yep. A perfect guy to be your backup. And I mean, look at the statistics. Tuukka and Halak were the best tandem goalie set in the entire league. So he was perfect for who he was. And last night he was great, obviously, but you're right. You're not going to win a championship with Halak being your number one guy. And Tuukka's not going to be playing much longer. I'm convinced of that. Even if he comes back and even if he starts off the season amazing, his head just does not seem to be into it anymore.
And he's hinted retirement too, man. He's hinted that.
That's what I'm saying. So he could be done as well. So that to me is their number one issue going. The Chara thing is more of a sentimental deal, but figuring out what the hell you're going to do for the future in net with this team. And I don't know if it's Vladar. Sure enough, we haven't seen enough of this guy. Look, and maybe they think he's the cat's pajamas. But right now, you know, you can't win with him. Let's real quick. Let's take Chris on line two. Chris, what's up, man? You're on the show.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to touch base on how lights out Halak played last night. I mean, it was great. But back to what you guys are saying with isn't his contract up this year?
Yeah. He's been doing year to year, and it's a very team-friendly $2 million contract. Everyone just kind of assumed that he would be back next year.
Right. I'm also Big Z, but what if we trade Big Z away and get a an actual goaltender? I mean,
he's an unrestricted free agent.
He's
been signing year to year.
And if you trade him, you're not going to get a goaltender in the same universe as Rask.
I think the only way you could get that type of guy is trading a Marchand type player.
Yeah. In order to get a goaltender who is Vezina caliber, which is, by the way, what Rask is. Rask may win the Vezina trophy this year.
Yeah.
For all the bitching and moaning we've been doing over the last 3 weeks, he may be the Vezina trophy winner this year. those guys don't fall out of, you know, fall out in front of you on the road as you're driving by. If you get rid of Tuukka Rask, you're going to have to deal with a goaltender that's maybe 60% of him for at least a couple of years, if not longer. I mean, you take a look at the free agent goaltenders this year. Suppose Rask opts out, or you trade away Rask for a first-round pick or a younger player, and, you want a goaltender that is good.
Yeah.
There
like
are two
Matt Murray
and Braden Holtby, you know, and Corey Crawford are the three
Holtby's
big
on
ones.
Decline, we
Holtby,
think.
Yeah. Holtby, the last 3 years has been even when they won the cup, Holtby wasn't great.
But he's got to cost you money too.
Not as much as Rask, but yes. And Holtby's coming off a very bad year for him. And so, by the way, and Matt Murray has won a cup as well. He didn't have a good year this year either.
There's just no one they can get that's better than Rask.
Exactly.
And what drives me nuts is Rask holds all the cards.
Yep.
Ah, it drives me nuts.
All right. Alex on line one. What's up, Alex?
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, I just wanted to talk on the officiating. Like, specifically that hit on McAvoy. How is that not called and at least reviewed? That hit was ridiculous, and I get McAvoy was turning, but that just feels like one of those plays, okay, like you see it, you call it, and you at least review it or something. Like, that just feels like a really dangerous precedent to set for the rest of the playoffs. And
well, I don't think that, and I think that there was enough there for it not to be called. I mean, as you said, I mean, you saw him turn there, but the one thing that I thought is, like, if you're going to call what Richie did a penalty, then you need to call what you saw last night with McAvoy a penalty. That was my whole opinion of what happened yesterday. Like, if you're going to throw that out there in one game, then you got to be as loose as you can in that one. But, I mean, I know why they didn't call it. And you can argue either way. I understand that. But you have to make the standard the same as who gets calls and who does not.
I think McAvoy sold it a little bit, too.
McAvoy sold it?
I thought he sold it a little bit.
No, dude, I don't know about that.
I mean, the Paquette punch was valid.
The hits were different. The Richie hit and the Paquette hit were different. In this, now, Cedric Paquette is not the cleanest player in the world, but I think just taking these two hits and comparing them, I thought Richie's was worse.
Yeah, I mean, the hit, I don't think McAvoy sold it.
The way that it looked,
I thought he was going to be out for the rest of the game. I thought he was.
Sold it is like he went into the boards. He fell. I think he tried to get the penalty and he didn't. That's what I mean by, that's what I mean by sold it.
Okay. Here's what I want to do. I want to bend over, and to really sell this thing, I want to bash my skull against the boards and have to go into the quiet room for about 25 minutes. That for sure is going to sell this call.
I'm watching it again.
I want to knock myself out.
I'm watching it right now. He did hit his head in the boards. Yep.
Yeah.
And he was on the ground and sold it.
Didn't work.
He definitely sold it on the ground, though. That's what I mean.
He was out. He didn't know where he was. Sell it.
It's like a guy getting shot.
It's a good sell job right there.
Sell him getting shot.
All right, you got to get back to normal here. It's a little bit of a sell job by McAvoy.
Rich, does this happen once a show, or is it just me?
That's why I love Joe Murray.
A little bit of a sell job, guys. I'm not going to lie to you.
Everything's a conspiracy.
We'll ask Ty Anderson. Sell job.
All right. Speaking of Ty, let's get him on here to save this. All right, so Ty Anderson, he has been up all night. I don't think he slept. I mean, if you just look at his Twitter timeline, he slept like 10 minutes between tweets. But we'll have him on and kind of let us know about the future of the Bruins and what the hell's going on, and maybe he can talk some sense into Joe Murray. We'll get to that right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports Hub.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And a shot won't get through. Hedman again. Still can't get it through, and it's point there. Led back over to Shattenkirk, then on to Hedman. Moving on. Hit shot. He scores! Hedman wins it, and the Lightning.
StageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.